Hello, everybody. Mary Davidson here, co-host of the Better Events podcast. Thank you so much for joining us for another week of the podcast. In today's episode, we are talking all about the 2024 Oscars. We're giving an event planner's perspective, which is a fun conversation that we wanted to have. We're going to have just a laid-back review of the Oscars and put an event planning and production twist on it to share with you some of the things that we saw, along with some tips and tricks and ideas that you can use for your events. So let's get into it.
Welcome to the Better Events Podcast. Join two event strategists, Logan Clements and Mary Davidson, who believe we can all create, host, and attend better events. In this podcast, you will learn about event strategy and actions that you can use today as an event host, planner, or manager. Hear directly from the people who are creating innovative and inspiring events today and tomorrow, and grow your business along the way. Now, let's get started, and thanks for listening to the Better Events Podcast.
Hi, friends. Welcome back to another episode of the Better Events Podcast. I'm your co-host, Logan Clements, and I'm joined by fellow co-host Mary Davidson. And this week, we are so excited to dig into the 2024 Oscars from our event planner perspective. But before we do that, we're going to do our conversation starter. So, Mary, here this week, we're talking about how calm is contagious. But do you ever think that being too calm can make it seem like you don't care?
I like this question. It's something that that I've been thinking about lately. Logan, I think that folks have said this about you as well, but they've said that I'm really calm on site, and I've seen that of you as well. So I'm sure it's the same, but I think it's a really great skill that we talk about event professionals having. So to your question, is being too calm like bad? I don't know. I would say that like, you can show that you care in lots of different ways, but being calm is like something that's so important. I don't know that I would like exchange it with anxiety just to show that you care, but I think that there are ways that you can show calmness and that you care at the same time. So it's kind of a weird question, but to me, I was just like really sitting and thinking about it. So Logan, what would you say? What would you add?
Yeah, I think there's a difference between calm and like ambivalence, you know? So being calm and you can, you know, not showing stress, we talk about, yeah, that's hard to chill. I call it more chill, I guess is the word I use more than calm, like an event chill. So being able to be relaxed and chill in very stressful situations, I think is like an event superpower that almost every event professional needs. You all probably have a memory of an event professional that is not chill, but they still work in the industry. So it's not a requirement, but I just find I usually don't get along with those people, nor do I want to work with them again in the future, just because my style is a little bit more chill. But calm is contagious in a good way. And then I just think if you feel like you're erring on the side of ambivalence, meaning you don't seem to like care, there's so much with events that you need to be proactive with. This is something that I think about a lot on events, of like why I want to hire people again and work with certain people when you know, I have the choice between two stage managers for an event. That's going to say like the person I didn't choose, they usually didn't do anything bad. They just often weren't the more proactive of the two. So the people that stand out to me are the ones, and when I say proactive, are like doing their job, but then also putting out little other fires. And like they see trash on the floor, they're picking it up. Not saying they have to pick up the trash across the whole venue, but they're just like, they're taking a little extra amount of care and touch that like, if I notice it, there's probably a lot that they're doing that I'm not noticing that is helping us have a successful event. Versus I feel like if there's like you're too calm and you're ambivalent, you don't seem to care. It's like, I'm just doing what you hired me here to do. And then even then you're probably missing some stuff because there's always something that happens on site.
I think ambivalent is a good word. Definitely. There you go. We're starting off with a deep thought today. So there you have it. But to get into our actual topic, we have a fun conversation today. We're talking about the 2024 Oscars. We're giving you an event planner's perspective. And we chose this topic because we were watching the Oscars and noticed a lot of things and just thought it would be a fun conversation. We don't normally do like reaction episodes, and this is going to be one of those. And so the Oscars was less than a month away now, and so it's still relevant. If you've watched it, you remember. If you haven't, you still can. And we're going to share some of our perspectives on things. So we'll go back and forth and just have a conversation today about some of the things that we saw that were interesting. So I'll kick us off, Logan. I'll pass it to you and we can share all the fun things. I have to say, just to start off with our favorite parts, first of all, actually, I should say, I enjoy watching the Oscars. I'm not a huge movie buff. In most cases, I haven't seen a lot of the movies that are nominated. But from a like a production and event perspective, there were so many things that I saw that I was like, I can't watch the Oscars anymore because now I just see all the people behind the scenes and I'm like, what are they doing? What's their job? Like all of these things. My favorite part was the performance by Ryan Gosling of I'm Just Ken. He just demanded the room and it was amazing. So Logan, maybe what was one of your favorite parts?
Well, I think also too, our context for coming into this, Mary, you watched it live and then texted me being like, we should talk about this on the podcast. I was working an event and I think I'm like you where sometimes I'll watch the Oscars. It was something I did growing up. But now as I've gotten busy, it's one of those I'm like, oh, the Oscars happened. And I feel like I see people tweet the viral moments and I know them, but I didn't watch the whole thing. So then I did go back in preparation for this episode and watch the entire Oscars. And it did remind me why I don't always need to watch the whole Oscars to feel like I got the good bits. Because I said, oh, wow, I really did see some of these like favorite moments, quote unquote, on social. Yeah, I think that one, I agree with you. The Just Ken performance was quite fun. And then I also really enjoyed John Cena's moment where he came out naked and just the delivery of his first line into the microphone to talk about the category was just costumes. And then he pauses and the entire theater is laughing. Whereas like he could have said something else could have been the first word out of his mouth when he stepped forward to that microphone. And it wasn't that. So it was just an expert delivery, whether he actually wrote that or if that was written by the Oscars writers. Like that was just a very funny little moment.
Yeah, to that point, I always do wonder like what is planned and what is not. Obviously, I think most of it is planned. That's the whole nature of TV. I think sometimes they make it seem like it's live, but it's not live or like planned, but not planned, you know, or scripted, I should say. But yeah, I don't know. I do think about that a lot. One of the things that I thought was interesting is that between breaks, because, you know, they're filming live television. So you would see when they came back from the TV break that people were kind of rushing back to their seats because I think during the breaks, they'll get up and they'll talk and all of those things. I think they can like go out in the hallway and there's like a bar. I read something about that. And so they rush and get back to their seats. But on the screen, there's a photo I saw. The big screens in the room, they have a countdown. So they are counting down to when they're going to be back live. And that's one thing that I would never have cared to notice before. But now I'm like, how do they get back in their seat so fast? Like, how do they know? How do they know what's happening? So that was something else that I thought was cool.
Live TV moments. Yeah, I think it was very interesting. I think the Oscars are great if you are somebody, again, I live more on the production side of things. So it's really the production stuff that kind of stuck out to me. So one of just like the overarching things from the awards is just that like the awards cadence that they have. So something for you to think about if you're hosting your own awards ceremony and you want to copy it is a tried and true method that the Oscars use. But that the fact that they have like the presenter come out, they usually say a bit or two, a joke or two, and then they name all the nominees and then they go and the winner is, they say the name. All of a sudden music swells. Music is played as the winner comes up on stage because people clap, but they have music in there just in case it fills the sound. And then, yeah, the cool part I saw, you talk about a timer, Mary, but yeah, they have a timer on their present on the acceptance speech for their award winners. And one of the winners actually said, I can see I only have 6 seconds, please, to try to get people to stop clapping so they could keep talking. And I was like, oh, good. They do actually show them the timer because I didn't know if it would be a timer that like the producer and the behind the scenes folks saw. And then it was just like a blinking, please wrap up sign or something. But based on that one person breaking the fourth wall, which I hate when presenters do that when I'm on behind the scenes, but I'm glad they did because then I got to see, yes, they must have a timer. And then if they go over, we all know the Oscars music. Everyone knows getting played off stage. So they start playing their live music and they will just get progressively and progressively louder over the award winner if they don't get quiet. So that's usually like a cadence, not maybe to that extreme, but something that whenever I'm planning award shows for corporate clients for their sales awards or whatever it is, we take a lot of that similar cadence and then just tweak it to fit the actual event or the brand.
That's a great point because I do think it's a really good example of how someone could structure a program or ceremony like that for their event. So it's a good example full of really entertaining ideas as well, which is pretty interesting. What you said this year, I feel like the people were not played off the stage as much as previous years. So I do wonder if that timer they saw was like a new addition. I have no idea. If you know, listener, let us know. I'm just curious.
Yeah. I assume they have a timer.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm happy to hear that they did for sure because they have to share the mic with other people. And I'm always like, what if somebody else didn't get their chance to speak? It's their big moment. So something else I thought was cool is that they gave I don't know what it was. Maybe it was like vodka or some drink to people that they dispersed during a commercial break, right?
Yeah, they gave them tequila.
Tequila. And I was thinking like, oh my gosh, they gave that out so fast. So I can just imagine what's going on during that commercial break, just like to the masses. It looked like most people, at least on the first level, had it. But I know one year they did pizza and this year they did that. And I just always think it's funny. It's another example of like, it's like surprise and delight. It's doing that like interesting thing for the audience, but also for viewers. It's just kind of like a funny thing to see. They did like a bit on it. But logistically, I'm like, how many people did it take to get that out in time? Like all the questions. I'd love to know that as well.
Yeah. I mean, part of me is like, did they preset it? Did we see them? Did they have it already set at each chair underneath it, attached to something? Or did they have them in baskets and ushers running, you know, passing them down the aisle kind of style? But yes, that they'd have to coordinate that. And I did want to know if they were glass or plastic was what my nerdy event brain wanted to know, because glass just feels very risky with a lot of people in finery and breaking and shattering versus custom plastic tequila little, you know, shooters would be easier if they accidentally get tipped over or fall or anything like that.
Yeah. If anyone's listening to this and you have an inside scoop on the Oscars, please send us an email. We'll do a report out episode or something, or like we'll mention it because we have a lot of questions. I'm realizing we've seen a lot of things, but we're also assuming a lot of things, but it's fun.
Well, we know about the effort that it goes into to making it. So, yeah, I think for me, then it was just a lot of like the behind the scenes tech I liked. So they had their, what I would call their PA, their public address announcer, or their VOG, voice of God person, make some but not all intros. So that was nice because it kind of changed up the cadence. I'd mentioned the cadence earlier, which is very rinse and repeat and consistent for every award. But the place where they had fun was, yes, sometimes they had Jimmy Kimmel announcing the next presenter. Sometimes they just had this voice of God doing the presenter, which was kind of nice. And then I did enjoy that they had, instead of asking the presenter to read all of the names of the nominees live, they had actually pre-recorded that. So it was a pre-recorded VOG voice of God of them, the presenter. So for example, I talked about John Cena, but it'd be John Cena's voice reading the nominees for the costume award winners. So they were able to probably do multiple takes to make sure they get pronunciation right. They're not relying on that person to say it correctly in the moment. So that's a level of control that the show gets. But then I'm just interested to see when they recorded that. If they record all of those day of and all the announcers have to come in, presenters have to come in for their own recording / tech check. Mary and I know how hard it is to get speakers to do tech check. So again, it's just interesting if that's like you get selected to present an award. Are you committing to a full day at the Oscars? Did they allow you to record it at home from the comfort of your home? There's like a quality that you need to have. So having like a nice microphone, you know, over you just recording into your notes app or something. I was curious what they get to do with that. But that's another interesting production technique you can use at your show of doing voice of God. Bigger shows or like my big sporting events, we have an announcer who only does PA or voice of God moments. On smaller shows, I found even the show caller or the stage manager or someone on your production team, you just say who has a nice voice of God voice and they would be that person. But even on your small shows of like a handful of people, you could pre-record a bunch of your VOGs ahead of your event versus doing them live. So being to introduce your first speaker or your big fancy speakers, you know, whoever, however many people you want, you can actually pre-record those and save them as audio files. And then your tech just has to run them at the right time versus you saying them into the mic.
I love the tips. I think that's awesome. But yeah, I am wondering, like, I doubt people would commit a full day, but also I doubt they've recorded it at their house because the quality was so spot on. So they're making magic happen somehow. Maybe if you have the opportunity to present at the Oscars, you make the time to record. But there was this moment that was so funny, and I actually texted Logan about this, and I did some digging and I can't figure out what occurred still. So there was a film that won I think it was like a documentary short film or something, and they won. It was Little Repair Shop. And Logan, since you've seen it now, I'm curious your thoughts. But they announced the winner. And then it's this little girl who I think she starred in the movie, came down with two other people. One of them, I think, was the director. I don't actually remember, but he gave an acceptance speech But then there was this other guy that was just hanging out in the background. He didn't get handed an Oscar, but this one guy did, and the little girl did. And I, for a minute, was like, did that little girl just, like, take his Oscar? Not take it. It was handed to her. But I was like, did she win the Oscar? Or is it these two guys who are, like, producers that won the Oscar?
Oh, it was definitely the two, the directors, or the director and the writer. She just definitely just took it. Or, like, the presenter handed, you know, the award holder, because that's the other thing, is they have presenters and then they have award holders. So people that are not famous but are very attractive people will hand the award to the presenters. And I feel like they probably just make the call to hand it to her. I felt like you could tell on that guy's face, the guy who didn't have an award in his hand, that he's like, this is my moment. And yet this other person has my award in their hand, but also made the call that it doesn't look good to take an award out of a 11-year-old's hand on national TV. So I have a feeling that was more of just let it be and know you had a beautiful moment. You made a beautiful moment for this 11-year-old. But yes, I'm assuming she does not hold on to that award.
Because there's a picture of her after, of her holding it. Because I think they go take photos after they win, because they go backstage and, like, do a thing. And then I was like, maybe she did keep it. Or maybe they decided to, like, let her keep it. And the guy also got one. I have no idea. But I'm interested to hear you say that, because I'm Googling and, like, nobody said anything about it. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure this was an accident.
Yeah, well, but she's part of the show anyway. They do. I think someone said there is, like, I don't know what the petition is for why you get so many awards, but, like, you know, Best Picture, they get 10 Oscar statues get handed out on stage. And I don't know if that means they later then produce 30 more to send to the entire cast and crew, or how that works. But yeah, I think that was more just a happy accident. And I'm assuming she just went up because she was excited and they were excited to have her there as a visual representation of, I think they talk about that she's, like, actively learning violin at one of the schools that the movie was based on and stuff. And so, yeah, it would be very bad luck for them to have taken it out of her hands at any point in that process. So whether she has one or not, I'm assuming the other guy got one.
Yeah, it was just kind of a funny moment where I was like, most people probably didn't think about this, but yeah. You mentioned the people who, I don't remember what you called them, but that bring the Oscars, like, on and off and hand them to people.
Award holders.
I was like, that's a stressful job. Because it's the same, I don't know, like, three people or something, maybe more than that. Like, the whole show, just on and off, holding the Oscars. And I also want to know how they get that job. Like, but
yeah, I would assume people, so models or actors. Yeah. Yeah. I'd say you're either modeling or an actor, and you probably came for rehearsal and you practiced where to walk.
Mm-hmm. And they help direct people where to stand a little too, right? So they're, like, definitely
part of that. And so that's an interesting, when we're, like, looking at it, you're like, you want people who, you know, if you're doing Hollywood chic, you want people who look very glamorous, but it's also like, would you benefit from a less glamorous person who knows what they're doing in terms of how to, like, nicely tell someone where to go? There was one awkward moment with, now forgetting the two presenters, but it was someone who couldn't be there to accept the award and so the announcer, the award presenter, said, and the winner is blah 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 blah, oh, and they're not here, so we're going to accept the award on their behalf. And the award holder then was very adamant about handing the presenters the Oscar, but the, like, clearly the presenters hadn't really been briefed on what to do if the person's not there. They knew to announce it, but, like, then they didn't seem to have clicked of, like, oh, and you're going to take the award in their honor, give them their moment, and then maybe you hand it back. It was just a funny moment that I'm like, oh, I have a feeling they talked about what the presenters were supposed to say, but not what they were supposed to do. And the award holder knew what to do, but because the presenter didn't know, it just looked a little messy on TV. And by messy, listeners, I'm saying for, like, an event person where I'm like, we like to rehearse all these things, so we all know what's going on, because there were at least two or three awards I could given out to people who were not present. And so that's one. It's like, just let's talk through it. What does it look like? So yeah, that's kind of a funny one. I feel like for me too, it was also, they definitely use a teleprompter. You talked about things being scripted. I mean, this entire show, I'm going to assume, is scripted. Mm-hmm. And then there's moments where people go off script, quote unquote. Some of that I feel like is a scripted off script moment. And then there's truly going off script. That's not saying the winner's speeches are not scripted and on a teleprompter, because they don't know who the winners are. But the presenters, Octavia Spencer and Melissa McCarthy, kind of broke this fourth wall during their thing. They were talking about scripts and that they went off the cuff, and then they call out, oh, we see it on the teleprompter, and oh, my name's in yellow, Octavia. It says you're supposed to go. So mm-hmm. It's like, okay, they have something they can see. Which again, the jokes in there, I think, are to make it feel less scripted, apart from when the jokes fall really flat. And then you're like, ooh, that was a bad scripted joke. But yes, they use a teleprompter. That's something like in our shows for awards that I've done, like we've always wanted to have maybe not a teleprompter that's like scrolling text, but at least bullet points for your presenter to kind of keep them on track. Again, it's a really good timing tool. The Oscars, I feel like, are on such a level that they want to have these viral, funny, snippy joke moments versus like when I do corporate events, they're a little bit more conservative. I feel like they're not trying to go viral for a funny joke. So it's more notes to keep the person presenting on track. But I would highly recommend using notes in whatever form, whether teleprompter or just like note slides.
Yeah, definitely. It's really interesting to think about everything from the production side, like you were saying. I wonder how many stage managers like they have backstage and what all that looks like behind there. There's one moment when it's Billie Eilish. She wins the award for the song, whatever that's called. Who gives it to her? Ariana Grande and somebody else. But they all go off stage together and they're kind of like chatting. And then you have this like backstage side camera that they use pretty often that like captures people coming backstage. But they did an announcement. It was somebody from like the Oscars.
That was bad.
You know exactly what I'm talking about. Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
Help me explain. I'm explaining it poorly, but like some the Oscars Guild or whatever, somebody made an announcement and it was just poor timing.
Well, they had, which I thought was a cool idea, is they have cameras backstage, which if you're a sports fan, like the NFL draft has started doing this where they have cameras on the athletes who are waiting with their families to find out if they're going to get drafted, when they're going to get drafted. And they cut to that a lot interspersed with the shots of what's on camera. So this is a fun idea where they're showing, yeah, it was like a planned hallway that was essentially back of house, quote unquote, backstage, but very much like designed to be front stage. And that's where they kept doing some bits of like, these presenters are coming up and you can like see them there, or they'd cut to commercial and you would like see the presenters who just exited the stage, like walking off and joking together, but you couldn't hear what they were saying. So I was like, that's a really nice way to use that shot. And they definitely had to have a stage manager there, like telling people, being like, you're on screen all the way until this point. But yes, Mary, the moment you're talking about, they had somebody from the Oscars Guild, like the president of the Oscars, talking about these people winning Lifetime Achievement Awards. And she was in that like tunnel. And so she's giving a very heartfelt, like, we are acknowledging these people for all of their hard work and dedication. And you just see Ariana Grande and Billie Eilish and them like getting closer and closer. I was like, oh no.
Yeah.
She's not going to be done this read in time. Oh no, this is going to be so uncomfortable. And you can see them because Billie Eilish like freezes and then tries to like skirt to the side like she's out of the shot, which like you're not out of the shot, but how would she know that? And like then, yeah. And then the woman turns and is like, Billie. And like, they don't know who this woman is. Like she knows who they are and they don't know what to do. So they kind of just like skirt away from her. It was weird. It was just one of those where I'm like, oh gosh, they either needed another stage manager to like have held that group at the far end of the tunnel, like in the distance, and then let them go. Or they should have just done that moment somewhere else because it was weird. It was awkward. It was probably just one of those moments where it's like, they really want us to do this announcement. We got to get it in somewhere. Let's just put it here. And like, they didn't think through or step through how long it would take for her to do that moment at the same time while people are exiting. It just, yeah, I felt you, Mary. It was very uncomfortable.
Yeah, definitely. I'm glad that you watched the same thing that I did, but it was pretty obvious. So I'm sure it stuck out. But what other things, Logan, are on your list of things that you saw?
Yeah, I think I loved the live orchestra. I thought that was fun. Instead of having them like in a pit, you know, below the stage, they were elevated and up in the upper area of the stage. And they had like a screen that would come down and hide them at times and then reveal them, which I thought was just kind of fun and interactive. Obviously, having live music has its own challenges, but at the same time gives you the flexibility of really like tweaking your music however long or short you need it to be, because you have a conductor conducting your live orchestra. I have not worked an event yet that has a live orchestra for it. So that is something to think about. Like with music cues, you have to be a little bit more specific when you're coming up to a like your own award show. I did think they had some interesting choices of music that made me think they were playing like the Pirates of the Caribbean theme song at one point. And I was like, after a very like heartfelt award winner speech, it all of a sudden then was like dun 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 dun. I was like, what? Why are we talking about pirates? And I was like, I bet they're playing all of the like, maybe they only play songs that have been nominated for the, you know, best song of the year. I don't know. But that was just, I was like, this is weird. There's nothing Pirates of the Caribbean happening. So that was just a funny one for me. And then you mentioned the press conference, which I think is just an interesting aspect to have for, you know, you see this here at the Oscars, but for your award ceremony of any form, more probably if you're doing like a public facing awards than an internal one. But they actually take like the winners go straight to a press conference from the stage. Like they don't go back to their seats. They immediately go and take what you're talking about, Mary, like those press photos, they answer questions, and then they go back to their seats. And the reasoning behind that, I've got to think, is because at one point they probably let them go back to their seats and then found it was really hard to like find everybody again, make sure they had the award in their hand, get all the questions that they realized just hold them captive from the minute they come up on stage. They're yours to do this press circuit. And then you release them back into just enjoying the event, which probably means then if you win an award, you then miss the next 20 minutes of the Oscars, which is just interesting. But I think that's just an interesting thing to do. If you're someone who needs press around your event, I think doing stuff live right after your speakers were on stage or your winners are on stage is a really smart way to take advantage of that momentum. Mary, what else for you? I think I have one more for how they ended is a good positive note, but anything else you wanted to chat on?
Just during the memorial, they, I was thinking of all the queues and stuff that have to happen because they were just whipping through people so fast. They had a couple different, they had like many different ways that they utilized the screens. And just the whole setup in general was so cool. Like they changed the colors of like everything multiple times. I don't know what it took, but they did so many cool things when it comes to the screens.
A lot of LED screens.
Yes.
A whole lot of different shaped LEDs.
It was so cool. And during the memorial, you, like I said, you saw them use so many of those. And then you have dancers that are coming out. And I think somebody even sang. And like, so there's just so much happening during this one time. So I can just imagine it was probably like all hands on deck. Here we go. Like, but at least that was all pre-planned. So maybe it's harder to work with unplanned things. But I, once again, was sitting there thinking, to whoever's calling this, good job to them. Good job, show caller.
Shout out to the show caller. Yeah, no, they, I mean, yes, it's a complex show. It's a lot of moving parts. It's a lot of planned and unplanned things. So it is a really tough event, I feel like, to do, and very scrutinized too. I mean, we're sharing what we noticed, but I mean, I know it gets roasted. Like I think hosting the Oscars is such a hard job, even as like the onstage person, because I don't think you ever get a good review. You're always going to have some jokes that like don't land or rub someone the wrong way. And then you'll have hopefully some positive moments, but it's gonna be like, I don't know, were they great? For me with Jimmy, with his like opening, I just was like, that's such a tough job. And I don't know if he towed the line nice enough. Again, I'm coming from my like recent events I've done have either been nonprofit, very family friendly, uplifting, or sports related, which is also very family friendly, that I always say you never want to make the person, the fan or the person you're talking about, feel like the butt of the joke, like they're not in on it, versus picking something that we all can laugh at. And I just felt like there were some things in there that were like really borderline kind of just insulting, that I was like, this isn't, I can tell they're uncomfortable, so it's making me uncomfortable. But that was just kind of my take on the opening. But I loved the ending. And I think that's something for events can kind of take away, especially if you're doing any kind of hybrid or stream or even an in-person only event. But they did this confetti drop right at the end. I don't know if you noticed, Mary, it was when literally once the credits rolled. So it was like, thank you so much. Good night. Credits roll. And then you see confetti falling. That looked like, I think, meant to look like petals, and the backdrops was also looked like petals. And then they did a credit roll over a live shot where you see kind of like SNL does it, but like you're hugging, you're high-fiving. So some like behind the scenes of seeing everybody happy and up on stage and so happy they did it. That's like just a fun little nugget. Mary and I have done that at an event that we do together. We try to mimic something like that, taking it from SNL, but I love that the Oscars did it. And then I also, they ended the whole broadcast with a highlights package, which is a very sports thing to do, but they actually had someone on hand in real time making highlights of what was happening. And so they were able to sum up the Oscars in 90 seconds with everything from crowd reactions to winner moments to performances. And while that's like not a requirement, I wouldn't say made the show. It was very nice, you know, a nice add-on and just something to think about if you already are staffing an event that has a graphics editor or a video editor on staff. That's a fun way to kind of have something quickly to show for the show. And then for social, you immediately have stuff to share.
I love that you called that out. I don't think I even realized that one, actually. So I'm glad you said something.
It was the end. You might have been tired by then. I was watching this at like 2 in the afternoon. So
you made it through. Ah, those are awesome. I think I'm really glad that I know that you tied in a lot of tips, Logan, to how we can apply these to our events, even smaller scale. It doesn't matter how much of a production it is. I think there are some small things that we can take from how this is managed. It's a really tight show, and I think that is a good example of that. Even then, some things happen, and that's also what we see. This is like a very, very professional show, and accidents still happen, and that's just the way that it goes. So that's events, but make sure to check it out. And then we have our bonus tip for today, which Logan has.
Yeah. So this one is more of just a fun tip for anybody. If you are someone who has a photo booth at your event or you utilize a photo booth as an attendee, I feel like I always love them and they're really fun to capture. And then I don't really know what to do with them. I'm not a big scrapbooker. I think I have a photo album of some of my Polaroids that I keep. But other than that, they used to just kind of like wallow in a like memory folder or box. In the last year, I've actually started using them as bookmarks and like in my books that I'm reading. And it's been such a fun reminder of these like moments at events that I've had with, you know, coworkers, with friends, with my partner, like having them in my book. So I see it when I open to a new page. It's just really fun and a nice way to have them like those moments live on. So it's an idea for you to utilize and use them as your own bookmarks. Or if you're looking for something fun to put in a post-event newsletter, if you had a photo booth, just encouraging people like, hey, fun fact, you can use them as bookmarks and the impact of your event will live on, yada, yada, yada. So new bookmarks by using your photo booth photos.
Great tip. I've been reading a lot of books lately, so I think that's a pretty good idea. All right. Well, that brings us to the end of our episode, everybody. So thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Better Events Podcast. You can follow us or find us on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn at Better Events Pod. You can email us at bettereventspod@gmail.com. You can visit our website even at bettereventspod.com or connect with us and or connect with us on LinkedIn. Logan and I love to hear from you directly, so feel free to connect with us there. And thank you so much for listening. We will be back with you again next Wednesday.